You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Time is not going to be kind to Donald Trump. It's not going to be kind to any of the enablers and sycophants in the Congress who upheld him during this period. And one of the things that I really can't understand about my colleagues is, how do they believe they're going to explain this to their children and grandchildren one day? When they're asked, what did you do when that awful man was running the country? Please tell me you did something to stand up to him. Tell me you didn't go along with him. I don't know how they're going to answer.
I just don't know how they're going to answer. That's Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat, California. This is October 14, 2021. Those remarks made by Congressman Schiff on a program, MSNBC, as he continues to promote his book, Midnight in Washington, all about the January 6th insurrection, as they call it. It is very clear that Donald Trump lives in Adam Schiff's mind, or lives in whatever he has in his head. The House Intel Committee chairman, now looking at the January 6th insurrection and overseeing this investigation, and they did issue a subpoena today for members that were not coming forward right away, such as Steve Bannon. So here's Schiff still again at this point trying to make it very clear that you got to be wary and fight off Trump and anybody that might have supported him in any way, all because of January 6th and everything else. As he said, I don't know how some of my colleagues are going to be able to answer their children and their grandchildren. Did daddy, granddaddy, did grandma, did you do anything to keep that dangerous man from becoming president? Well, Schiff also remembers when he said, oh, Trump won't win. You're going to love this coming up later. And today, President Biden, again, addressing COVID, talking about how great he's doing, how the vaccine is really working, the vaccine developed during Trump Warp Speed Project, the vaccine which Biden and Harris said we will never take if it's coming from Trump, but they did in December before they were sworn into office. And he's even pointing out that, yes, things are looking better, but of course you've got to get vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, you're a danger to everyone else. And of course, he's also pushing that you get vaccinated if you're in the military, that you have to do so. A military bishop is saying it's okay for military members to refuse the vaccine on religious grounds because some of it is made or created, involving at least in early investigations and discoveries, tissue of aborted babies. That opens the door to a very big story I'm going to try to share with you in the second hour. University of Pittsburgh and money it was getting from Dr. Fauci, Dr. Fake's Institute, and how it was using it, reference aborted babies. You don't want to miss that coming up in the second hour. In the meantime, we have President Biden saying, I'm going to get the supply line open. We're going to have everything you're going to need for Christmas and everything else. This is the same president, of course, who wants to blame all the troubles right now on private enterprise and private businesses. And he says, if I need to, we'll get the government involved. Well, of course, he's looking for that door already. But this is the same president who shut down the Alaskan drilling, and now the White House admits they're begging oil producers and suppliers try to come up with some more fuel for us because these shortages are going to be very big and the cost is going to be very high this coming winter. Also, former network anchor Katie Couric admits editing out comments that Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg made about Colin Kaepernick and others not standing for the U.S. flag. And cancel culture does continue. A particular school will not have Halloween, not because of religious reasons that it might involve witches and satanic thing, but because it's decided that black males feel left out at Halloween. Well, then I have an issue when they have Valentine's in schools. I remember it being felt that I was left out in that. And then what about Sadie Hawkins Day? They probably don't even still have that. Do some of you know what Sadie Hawkins Day is? I'll bet some of you do. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your family and friends, even your enemies, know we're on the air. We want everyone listening. You know what I say now? You can say it with me. You ready? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. To the rock, out on my knees, I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Today's announcement has the potential to be a game changer. I say potential because all of these goods won't move by themselves. For the positive impact to be felt all across the country and by all of you at home, we need major retailers who order the goods and the freight movers who take the goods from the ships to factories and to stores to step up as well.
And, of course, with those words yesterday, President Biden talked about how he was going to open up the supply chain again. And the problem we're having has nothing to do with what the government's been doing or anything of that nature. And it's just gotten kind of tough right now. It wouldn't have anything to do with the fact that you continue to pay a lot of people to just stay home and not work. It wouldn't have anything to do with the fact that folks are being told if you're not going to get vaccinated, you're not going to have a job anyway. No, it's all the private companies, big and small, that are to blame. And how many of these companies out there are struggling to stay alive and keep their customers? Have you been into some of the stores recently and you look for something in particular that is always there and it's not, or very few? I know many of you recall when COVID first came, we suddenly had a shortage of toilet paper. As a friend of mine said, Bitcoin, it was as valuable as Bitcoin in many ways at that point. And already people are beginning to hoard things because they fear it's going to get even worse. So that's why Joe Biden yesterday went out to the West Coast at the L.A. port and said, we have reached an agreement to make sure we get things moving faster, and we're going to do it. And you can count on it. But while he's saying all this, the economic forecasts continue to say Our inflation rate is the highest it's been in 13 years. Unemployment rate, not any better, especially for minorities. And it's not going to get better overnight anyway. Well, we all know that. It's not going to get better overnight. It's going to take some time. I mentioned to you yesterday that there were numerous ships offshore from California waiting to be cleared to come in to port to unload. They've got to wait on numerous ships ahead of them to get into port and unload. And then once they get in, somebody's got to actually unload them. And then they've got to be put on trucks or however they're doing it at that particular port at that point and where the goods are and get them moving. And then President Biden opened the door to something he's anxious to do, and he'll do it at the drop of a hat if it doesn't achieve what he wants that he thinks it should be done, because it's a socialist Marxist way. We're not going to rely on private enterprise. We'll just take it over ourselves. Pretty much what he's thinking, that there might be an opportunity to do that. Here's how he explained it.
This is not called a supply chain for nothing. This means that terminal operators, railways, trucking companies, shippers, and other retailers as well. Strengthening our supply chain will continue to be my team's focus. If federal support is needed, I will direct all appropriate action.
You get that? If federal support is needed, I'll direct all appropriate action. In other words, we're going to be ready to jump in there. If you don't move as fast as we want and the way we want, the L.A. port has agreed now with the International Longshoremen and Warehouse Union to have a 24/7 schedule for operations. Now, up until that announcement, they'd been pulled back to basically 8, maybe 10, maybe a 12-hour day, but no more than 5 days a week. Weekends off, pretty much. So that's why the president met with the representatives of Walmart, Target, and Home Depot yesterday, and said they're also committed to using extra hours to offload their products. The Long Beach port and the Los Angeles port handle about 40% of cargo imports into the U.S. And the Biden administration is saying, you guys aren't doing your job. This is the same Biden administration that today the White House Chief of Staff, Ron Klain, is saying inflation and the supply chain mess or snarl are, quote, high-class problems, which means we're lucky to have them. That's right. That's right. He's saying, hey, we should be glad we've got inflation going up, and we should be glad that we're going to have some of these goods stocked up and we can't get them in. Look how wealthy we are. Is that what he's trying to say? I'm looking at a piece written by John Nolte, I believe it was, for Breitbart. Let me verify that. Yeah, it is. And he does raise a question right away. He said, first of all, it's not an either-or proposition. We don't have to make this choice. Since Reaganomics kicked in nearly 40 years ago, America has enjoyed decades of low unemployment, low inflation, healthy supply chains. Secondly, what is high class about an issue like record inflation? Few things hurt the poor more than inflation. Those living check to check, hand to mouth, prices go up. You think they're going to be saying, oh, aren't we so lucky? And you think it's starting just now on just the supply chain? Oh, no, no, there's a lot more to come. But let me wrap up this issue with Biden out at the L.A. port saying we're going to get everything moving. And if we don't, then I'm ready to move in with the government.
If federal support is needed, I will direct all appropriate action. And if the private sector doesn't step up, we're going to call them out and ask them to act. Because our goal is not only to get through this immediate bottleneck, but to address the longstanding weaknesses in our transportation supply chain that this pandemic has exposed.
The pandemic exposed and blocked all of this up because in the beginning, yes, once we realized that we needed to have quarantine sessions and begin to shut things down for a little while until we figured out what was involved. That was part of it. But then it's continued because the attitude of this administration is, it's just too dangerous to go anywhere, do anything. Businesses were shut down. Now they're trying to open. Well, when they shut down, all the ripple effects began to hit their suppliers, who then also shut down, and are those who are used to deliver supplies and goods. They shut down. It just goes on. Do they not understand the domino effect? Let me give you a perfect example right here. Right here. I got it for you. The latest U.S. Energy Information is predicting the average heating cost for U.S. household will be a double-digit increase this winter. A double-digit. You're going to see retail energy prices at multi-year highs. Natural gas consumption projected to rise by 3% this winter. That means households are going to spend anywhere from $700 to $800 compared to last year. More, I should say. Even propane costs, those of you who live out in the rural areas and you have propane brought in, those are going to go up about 50%+. Nearly half of all U.S. households use natural gas as a primary source of heating. It's all going up, and especially in the Northeast regions, many of the blue states in particular. And, of course, just putting fuel in your car. And yet, in the midst of all of that, the numbers I just gave you, you think the White House would be blaming all of that upon private sector? Well, in a way, they are. See, it was just a week ago, that Biden was boasting during a White House event that he had suspended oil and gas drilling on federal lands in Alaska. He said, Alaska is pretty big. Well, thank you very much for that, sir. For Texans, once Alaska came in, we all had the attitude that that's not a state, that's just a big ice cube. Anyway, he said, Alaska is pretty big. He said, that's why I'm refusing to sell out the Arctic National Wildlife Reserve to oil and gas drilling. And back in June, he suspended oil leases in that refuge after President Trump had opened up the area to drilling in 2017. And also last January, Biden halted all new oil and gas leasing and drilling permits on any federal lands. You know what the price of U.S. crude oil is now per barrel? It's at a seven-year high, $80 a barrel. There you have it, my friend. There you have why you have inflation rapidly going, gas prices approaching $5 a gallon in the California area, and it's going to hit the Northeast the same way. And I just told you how the heating prices would be going up. But do you hear anywhere in there that the White House admits, you know, maybe we shouldn't have shut all that down? Well, Reuters is reporting that the White House, you think this is a joke, but it's not. Reuters is reporting that the White House is now reaching out to the same energy companies that they want to shut down and move away from fossil fuels. They're reaching out to energy companies as the U.S. and the world is facing record high prices and a shortage of supply. They want everybody to get off of fossil fuel. They've already made that clear. You don't need to do that job. That job is not going to be there in the future. So we're going to right now use, let's just suspend it. Stop the pipeline, the Keystone XL pipeline. Shut that down. Oh, but over in Germany, we'll let them have the Nord Stream pipeline so they can get fuel right from Russia, aligning them more with Russia than the Western world. But in this nation, when we were so energy independent, we had gotten there, we're no longer under the grip and the thumb of OPEC. We're going right back into that damn trap. And it's not like we haven't done it before. But, of course, these guys don't really pay attention to history. They want to rewrite every piece of history. So they don't really learn anything. That point itself right there, that should just upset you to no end. The fact that Biden does all this to shut down, denounce oil and gas production and drilling, And now the White House is almost begging. Can you do something, you oil and gas producers? Can you do something to help us out here a little bit? Yeah, we could, but you can't drill that well overnight. You can't start producing it overnight. And then you've got this. Back to the ports and shipping. MGA Entertainment CEO, major exec for a toy company, said that President Biden, whether those ports are open 24 hours a day or 48 hours a day, you cannot get labor. If you cannot get labor, you cannot get trucks. You cannot get the merchandise out. This directive to open up the ports 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to reduce the bottleneck, he said it, frankly, is a little, too late. It's a political gimmick. Well, White House Press Secretary Saski said, well, we're not the Postal Service, UPS or FedEx. We cannot guarantee that all your Christmas gifts will arrive on time or that there'll be gifts for you to even buy. Yeah, aren't we great to be in this country with all these concerns and issues we have? On one hand, we are, but the other hand, a lot of people are going to suffer. They are. And today, the president got his update from his advisory panel on vaccinations and booster shots. We'll get into that. And also, this pill that Merck has come up with that might help in the fight against COVID. Here's some good news. First Crypto World is now open in St. Charles, the first brick-and-mortar store where you can learn about cryptocurrencies and buy crypto merchandise. First Crypto World also has 3D printing services. In fact, I'm getting some promotional items printed. 3D. Get full details at firstcryptoworld.com. firstcryptoworld.com.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So President Biden saying today that the number of unvaccinated Americans still remains, in his words, and I'm quoting, unacceptably high. But still insisting our vaccine requirements for the federal workforce and private employees are working. He said, we are making progress in the fight against the virus. We're making progress nationally. Now, this kind of news certainly should be headline news for even the state-controlled media. But they'd rather say, look at these states over here. They're not doing as good, and they're probably involving Republicans. But anyway, he adds, the president himself, saying we're making progress nationally. Daily cases down 47%. Hospitalizations down 38% over the past 6 weeks. Case rates, he says, declining in 39 states. And hospital rates the same. Ah, but see, it's the other states. And he says, we still had to vaccinate 66 million more. What was the threshold originally? The threshold originally to flatten the curve was, you know, if we have anywhere from 50 to 60% of the population, that'd be pretty good. Even Dr. Fauci, fake, whatever, made that remark, then moved it to 70 and then 75. And then the other day, and getting his booster shot, Biden said, I'll be happy and I think we'll be there if we get 97, 98% vaccinated. We had numerous hospital personnel who had been regarded as heroes in the battle against COVID over the last year, now saying they do not want to take the vaccine, and so they're being slurred, slandered, fired, threatened with loss of job, and this administration is going along with that and still talking about a federal order to OSHA to make sure every Everybody has to get this shot if you have anything to do with the federal government. And yet the U.S. Postal Service Union says, not us, not right now. Nope, don't think so. And numerous teachers unions, nope, don't think so. And we've got numerous military members. And the Catholic Archbishop of the U.S. military said today, I should say this week, and I'm quoting him, no one should be forced to receive a COVID-19 vaccine if it would violate the sanctity of his or her conscience. Well, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin issued that vaccine mandate back in August. Numerous service members requesting a religious exemption. Well, some would say, what, their religion just is against all medicine? Not necessarily. In fact, what the Catholic Archbishop of the U.S. military is saying, the concern is that some of these vaccines and taking it would violate their conscience because some of these vaccines, such as Johnson & Johnson in particular, tied to human cells derived from abortions. As he said, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was developed, tested, produced with abortion-derived cell lines. So if it were the only vaccine available, it would be morally permissible. But the faithful Catholic is to make his or her preference for a more morally acceptable treatment. Biden is supposed to be meeting with the Pope shortly, and next week, I think. I've lost track of the time here, but I wonder if that's going to come up at all, you think? Or about his change on the Hyde Amendment, you think? And speaking of abortions, in the next hour, I'm going to share with you a piece out of the Federalist about what was taking place at the University of Pittsburgh using taxpayer funds and grants from Dr. Fake's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases to run what were described as barbaric experiments involving organs harvested from aborted children. That's going to be in the second hour. We'll take a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about how we are doing on the vax boosters and also the Merck pill, the pill that Merck says this might be the way to go. We'll get more information on that. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so make sure you're aware that President Biden, maybe an hour or so ago, said the number of unvaccinated Americans still remains, quote, unacceptably high. He says we still need to vaccinate 66 million more. More. The numbers, and he reported these numbers as well as in his news conference, that we are seeing a drop in COVID-19 cases. In fact, the seven-day average of daily cases was about 92,000 per day as of the end of last week, according to CDC. That was 12% down from the week before. Hospitalizations dropping about 11% per week. Deaths linked to the disease also down. Of course, I've always had a big question about how many of these deaths are actually, at any point, were directly linked to COVID, or just because the person died with COVID or died of COVID, it made no difference. They put COVID on the death report. And we have had from the state-controlled media constantly pushing the story that we have more folks going into hospitals, especially in some of these red states, but the death count's not going up. They're getting sick. I've got a relative right now that has been battling a cough for a couple, 3 weeks. It's just a cough. It's not COVID, but has to be in the hospital so they can actually try to get a better hold on it. And I have not had a chance to ask, did they inquire about and run a COVID test on you at the time? But every year before COVID came in, we had things like this happen. You have a flu, you have bronchitis breaks out. You can't get rid of something and you have to go to the hospital. Nobody wants to. But Dr. Fake now coming once again forward, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, said, I believe the U.S. is in the second of five stages. Oh, my God. How far are we moving the field goalposts this time? We are in the second of five stages. The first being the pandemic phase. The fifth being total eradication of COVID-19. And he added, he said, there is a point where you get a decline in the acceleration and turnaround of cases. That's where we are now. We are in stage two. We're not ready to fire the rocket booster for stage three, four, and five yet. In fact, Dr. Fake goes on to say, I could have written this statement for him. I would know that he's going to say something like this. The very guy that in the beginning said, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal. That's what he said originally when the word came out of China and the World Health Organization. Not a big deal. Well, if it is, you don't need masks, which was a lie. He later admitted, I said that because I didn't want the American people buying up the masks that we need for our hospital workers. You are and have been the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases for years, and you didn't prepare enough masks in advance? No, we did not. So here's what he's saying now. You don't know how big this is going to get? Quote, it would be very difficult, at least in the foreseeable future, and maybe ever, to truly eliminate this highly transmissible virus. So we got to continue to vaccinate, got to continue to push. And they want to raise, they want to lower the age down to 12 right now for vaccinations. In fact, according to federal data, approximately 66% of the population 12 or older have been vaccinated. So many at that age have already been. And they've been trying to talk about maybe take it all the way down to 6 months. But that's not clear yet. And yet pregnant women are being told it's okay for you to get the vaccination. I fear for those women and their children. And I mean, I cannot imagine if they're telling you it's okay to... You're carrying a baby? You might as well ask, well, is it okay if I smoke while I'm carrying the baby? What if I drink a lot? What if I take drugs? Would that be okay? Because that's what we've been told and we believe, and I certainly support it, the fact that pregnant women, and yes, it's women, it's not a pregnant person, it's a woman, if they are drinking and smoking and certainly doing drugs, they are damaging the health of that unborn child and maybe its future forever. So in the meantime, what else is being done on the fight against COVID? Well, Merck has come out with a pill that they are trying and have submitted already an application to the FDA for emergency use authorization. It's called Molnupiravir, I believe, something like that. Molnupiravir. I might have mispronounced it, but that's kind of the way it would be spelled out. I subscribe and follow a lot of different news sources. I can't stay on top of all of them, but there is one I do follow that is called as the MedPage Update. And, of course, they are constantly updating what they have regarding the vaccines and the spread of COVID. And they have a MedPage podcast, and on one of them they were just featuring Dr. William Schaffner. He's a professor at Vanderbilt University, and apparently also an expert in infectious diseases, and talking about the Merck pill, and he said it's, and many of you probably have had Tamiflu. You know, that you have a flu and the doctor gives you a script for Tamiflu, and if you take it right away, then it kind of knocks out or at least hastens your recovery. He said it's very close to that. Again, the words now of Dr. Schaffner on the MedPage podcast.
Well, what Tamiflu will do to influenza is if you give it quickly for optimal work, it has to be given within 48 hours of your first getting symptoms. And there's a problem because you have to realize that you might be infected and go to the doctor very quickly or call the doctor. But what Tamiflu will do is reduce the duration of the illness and make it less severe. That's similar what molnupiravir is anticipated to do for COVID. What it will do is make the illness less severe.
So is this really a game changer?
Game changer is enthusiastic. It certainly is another tool we have in our toolbox, and it would be wonderful to have, because if it could be distributed through pharmacies, we can reach many populations that are harder to reach.
In other words, you don't have to make an appointment at a doctor's office. You just go to the pharmacy and you pick it up. And it, you heard him pronounce, obviously. And I had heard the bite earlier, but I just couldn't remember. Molnupiravir. And he said, hard enough to get in to see a doctor, but you got a pharmacy. It's easier to get a pharmacy. And this would also be better than even the monoclonal antibodies, where you have to get an appointment, go to the clinic, much more involved. He said, all this would be a lot cheaper, not cheap, but cheaper, less expensive, and not just for you, but for the government providing it for you to make sure we stay on top of this thing. And there's a very interesting backstory as to how this pill was developed from Dr. Schaffner explaining.
Well, it came about through the work of one of my colleagues right here at Vanderbilt,
great.
Who was an expert in this whole field of coronaviruses, and COVID is a member of that virus family. And he was really concerned that someday we might have a rogue coronavirus, such as COVID, cause a pandemic. And so he was looking in his laboratory for drugs that would interfere with the multiplication of the virus. And he found that it did.
And they had additional experiments in animals. And then, of course, suddenly we do have the pandemic right in front of us. He said clinical trials had been undertaken in people, volunteers, and there's more documentation it does work. So now all that's being submitted to the FDA and see if they will approve it for general use and maybe emergency use at this point. It might well be an option for a vaccine and for those who don't want it, unless something is also uncovered that the development of the pill and the research involved fetal tissue, which is a big issue for many, especially when it comes to religious objections. But Dr. Fake says we're only in stage 2 of 5 stages. I'm surprised he even said we're in stage 2. We are probably going to have this forever in one form or another, just like we have so many other things, but we'll get a better hold on it. And then if we add, like we have with tuberculosis, measles, mumps, and so forth, and then if we don't allow illegals to come in untested, carrying such of those diseases that we pretty well have gotten rid of or import them without testing them for it, but that's another story. Speaking of stories and how things are handled sometimes in the media, Katie Couric admits, yeah, I did it. I did it.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
If you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really 3 choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There's no doubt that this nation has a history of things that we're not proud of, slavery, and we still have injustice based upon race, religion, gender, or sexual preference, even now. But this is one of the stories I thought this is really strange. I would not have seen this except for my boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago, Andrew. Apparently, the Art Institute of Chicago, and many of you might have been there at some point going through one of the museums they have. They have so many great museums. You're guided by what are called docents. These are crews of volunteer who learn about a particular art and or particular study room or, a museum room to give you full details. They spend a lot of time learning about it so then they can relate to you and tell you what the real history is for more than 60 years. Now they're all being fired. Fired. Why? Well, it comes down to they say they're going to replace them by a limited number of paid educators. See, these have been volunteers, those women, generally women, but also men, who have a chance to do it and want to and want to help educate others. But someone noticed most of them are white. So it's a white privilege thing because they don't have to work or they're retired. They don't need the money. So they're doing it for free. So now the Chicago Art Institute is going to pay people and going to say we're going to be hiring basically on income level, which would also equate to race. Are we going to look everywhere for every opportunity just to destroy something? Instead of helping others get there, we're just going to dismantle? I told you the other day, Brooklyn Nets had decided to ban Kyrie Irving from the team until he gets vaccinated. He's not getting any support from his teammates. You do know that. And then also ESPN First Take host Stephen A. Smith got into a heated discussion the other day, and he's upset with the fact that Williams will not – Kyrie Irving, I should say, will not get vaccinated. He said he's just being not really caring about the rest of the team and other people, basically. So he's not getting support. Colin Kaepernick got support when he took a knee, remember, and that continued for some time. And that brings us to Katie Couric in an interview she did at that time, shortly after some of that. That would be 2016, that she did with Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Well, Katie has out a new tell-all book. And in one part of the book, she admits that when she did the interview with Ginsburg, who was 83 at the time, that maybe the question, the Supreme Court justice did not understand the question and admitted, well, I want to also protect her from any problems that might come from her remark. What did she do? Couric points out in her book that when she did the interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she did ask about her views about those who kneel during the national anthem. And Ginsburg said, they are showing, quote, contempt for a government that has made it possible for their parents and grandparents to live a decent life. Couric was going to include it in the video clip for the network. But others were saying, no, don't put that in. That's going to be damning. It's going to, you know, expose her and it's not going to look good. And Couric admitted that I was conflicted because I'm an RBG fan. I didn't want to do anything to cause her problems, but she basically said that Kaepernick and others are, quote, dumb and disrespectful. But then maybe she just didn't understand the question. She's 83 years old on the U.S. Supreme Court, and she can't understand a question from Katie Couric. That's going to be your excuse. And yet she can look and it summarized and listen to oral arguments on Supreme Court cases. At that time, the former head of ABC News, David Weston, said you should keep it on. You should keep it in. She's on the Supreme Court. People should hear what she thinks. Well, she decided, no, I'm going to take it out. I talked to a New York Times journalist that said Ginsburg probably didn't understand the question. So for that reason, she decided, okay, let's just drop it. That's just another example of the news we sometimes have to rely upon. Slanted, biased, fake. That's what we've come to. This program, I make it very clear. I'm no longer a news anchor. I have an opinion, and I give it now. Didn't then. Coming up, Adam Schiff. Donald Trump still lives in Adam Schiff's head somewhere. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.